Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
Yes, I am Emmanuel, your God who is with you, says the Lord. And I'm always with you. You're my people. I'm always loving you. You're my people. And know this, says the Lord, my love does not fail. Have I not reminded you throughout the Psalms that my love is unfailing, 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 unfailing? And my name is Emmanuel, which means God with you all the time. Never is there a moment when I am not with you. And I would ask you to remember my words, says the Lord. Have I not told you to ask and you shall receive? Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. Does not my word say, for everyone who asks shall receive, and everyone who seeks shall find, and everyone who knocks, the door will be open. This is my promise to you, says the Lord. This is my covenant word, for I am a covenant God. Have I not also said in my word, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you? Did I not instruct you to pray and say, Father, who art in heaven, your name be hallowed, your name be holy, your name be exalted. Did I not teach you to pray? And Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Know this, says the Lord. Yes, I am present with you always, but you see my manifested presence and my manifested glory and my manifested intervention when you ask. When you ask. Lord, why do we have to ask you? Because I want you to remember me, says the Lord. I want you to think of me, says the Lord. I want your eyes turned to the hills, to the heaven, from where your help comes from. So ask me, my children. Seek me, my children, throughout the day. When there's a problem, when there's a trouble, when there's a mountain, when there's a predicament, just ask, Lord, come. Seek, Lord, come. No one has to hear you. Let your heart rise to me, and you will know the manifested presence of God like you never have before. For I am Emmanuel, and I am with you. And you will see me, and you will know me like never before. You will say, oh, the Lord is with me. I see him. I see him. I see him. I see him. For you will know my will, my kingdom on earth, even as it is in heaven, says the Lord.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
How many of you are ready for the Word of God? Please pray for my beautiful wife, Kathy. She's not here today. She's experiencing a dizzy spell. She's nauseated and dizzy. She's at home probably watching the simulcast right now. And I'm just carrying a burden for her. Can we just pray a quick prayer for Kathy? Father, we just ask right now that you would touch Kathy and heal her. Whatever this dizziness is and nausea, Lord, we just rebuke it. We ask that she would be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we also ask that you would speak to us in a very special way through the scripture today. Lord, touch our hearts, warm our hearts with the presence of God. And Lord, wherever there is hurt or pain or need in our congregation, online, listening in the cafe, here in the auditorium, I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to do mighty things, Lord, through your word, Lord, through your word today, in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 19 is a verse we've been looking at for some weeks. We're on a series called 10 Cities. And I've been describing to you God's heart for cities. It's a series of messages that is changing the way we as a congregation see ourselves. It is changing the way we see our mission and our future in a very exciting way. I believe exciting and awesome days are ahead. If you haven't been here the last few weeks, then you haven't heard the announcement that as of August 28th, just in a few weeks from now, Gateway City Church will become one church in three cities. So we have Gateway Santa Rosa, We have Gateway San Jose, of course. And then August 28th, I'll be down at our Clovis campus, our new Clovis campus, about 100 people in the Clovis-Fresno area coming in to join us. And we'll be one church in three locations. It's very exciting, and I believe this is just the beginning. I believe God wants us to touch cities outside of our own city, because that's the nature of the Great Commission. The Great Commission isn't go into all your city and preach the gospel, which of course we want to do, but it's go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen. And how many of you believe that God will open doors for us in other places to preach the gospel? We've done this for years and years and years, and we've planted churches, and some of those churches are still alive. Others didn't make it, but we're in there swinging. Amen. But we have great hope and great anticipation for what God will help us to do. And one of the verses that's been pregnant, poignant in our world the last few weeks is Luke chapter 19. And I want that verse to be put up on the screen so we can take a look at it. Jesus is sharing the parable of the faithful steward. He's highlighting the importance of stewardship and faithfulness to him. And he makes this remarkable statement: because you have been faithful in a very small matter, you will have authority over 10 cities. The message being, not of course just literally 10 cities, the message being that God wants us to be faithful in what he has given to us. And when we are faithful, he increases our authority. He will bless us if we are faithful. And I believe that God will bless your family. God will bless your marriage if you are faithful to him. And I believe that God will bless this church if we are faithful to him. And I believe God will help us to reach many people for the Lord. For that is the reason that Jesus died on the cross, for the church and for the gospel to be preached all over the world. Now, I want to continue this series, and I want to change the subject a little bit. I'm going to address the topic here. We're talking about cities. We're talking about reaching people. And I want to talk about intercession for cities. I want to share about God's heart to have us be those that would pray for cities and what God would like to do through his body, the church. And the title of my message this morning is Begging for the Body of Christ. Begging for the Body of Christ. We're going to begin in Matthew chapter 27 in the hours just after the horror of the crucifixion. Matthew 27. Now, when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple. Everyone say disciple. He had become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate, and he asked. Now, the King James Version rightly renders that word asked. It translates it begged. Other versions say he pleaded. But I'm going to use the word beg because I think it's the most striking, and it is certainly a proper interpretation of this verse. This man went to Pilate and begged for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb, and he departed. What I'm reading to you is scripture and a description of what happened to the body of Jesus Christ after it was crucified. Jesus, out of great love for every one of us, surrendered his life. He was beaten. He was tried. He was convicted. An innocent man hung on a cross. He was spit upon. He was jeered at. He was jabbed. He was poked. He was whipped. He was tortured. And his body was a mess. And when the full effect of crucifixion had taken its toll, and Jesus said, after he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," And then his final words, Father, into your hand do I commit my spirit. And the Bible says that he gave up his spirit. He said at another point, when they were torturing him and he was being tried and Jesus was predicting what was about to happen, he said, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. And there he was, hanging on the cross, fulfilling dozens of Hebrew scriptures, fulfillment after fulfillment after fulfillment. And when all righteousness was fulfilled, Jesus surrendered his spirit. And he gave up the ghost, and he died, and he hung there on that cross. And so we find him, they took him down, and whatever condition he was in, from the violence that he had been through, Joseph of Arimathea enters the scene and starts seeking custody of the remains of the crucified Savior. What I want to say to us today about Joseph of Arimathea, I believe, has profound impacts on the way we view the body of Christ. Not the body of Christ that was crucified, but the body of Christ, which Paul says is the church. For the church is the body of Christ. Let's talk about Joseph of Arimathea. Who was he? Joseph was a wealthy man. He was from a place approximately 5 miles outside of Jerusalem. He was a dignitary. He was well known. His wealth had made him famous. He had a high social standing. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, kind of like the Jewish Supreme Court. He was a big deal. He was well known. And Joseph of Arimathea was a person who grew up and became quite influential. He was a person of high social standing. He was well known in the whole area, including the city of Jerusalem. He was a man of faith. Joseph of Arimathea was a believer. Here in Matthew, it says that he was a disciple, that he was literally a follower of Jesus Christ. And Luke tells us that during the trial of Jesus, when they were condemning him, that Joseph of Arimathea, though he sat on that Supreme Court, he was not consenting to the death of Jesus. He did not want to be a part, and he was not in agreement with what was happening there. The Gospel of Mark tells us that he was a man that was looking for the Messiah. So he was a person of faith. He was a disciple. He was not in accord with his peers on the Supreme Court as they were condemning Jesus Christ. And he comes into an unbelievable moment, a moment where God used him. Now, you and I, sometimes, we can't help it. We think about rich people, and we're jealous. We think about rich people like Joseph of Arimathea, and we're suspicious. We think, what's he doing with his money? He's probably crooked. We look at politicians. We look at people that sit in places of high office and high power, and we're very skeptical. We think, what's he after? What's he doing? And why didn't he come out for Jesus? Why didn't he do more for Jesus if he was a disciple of Jesus? Why was he even a part of that establishment? But I'm here to let us know, brothers and sisters, that God needs some people in the establishment. God needs some people in government. And you know what? God needs some people that have money. Having money is not a problem. It's when money has you. And God has raised up certain people in the earth to be people of influence. Maybe you're one of them. Maybe you're somebody that God has blessed financially. Maybe you're somebody that God is going to bless financially. And you have an opportunity because of your high social standing. Maybe you're well known. And you could come into a moment like Joseph of Arimathea. You've got everything. You've got high standing and people respect you. And maybe you haven't made a lot of waves. But your moment is coming where God will use you to get the attention of the right people onto an issue. Frankly, that's something that I hope our church will be able to do. I hope that our church will have the influence and the heart and the compassion and the standing in our city to be able to speak into the things that need to be spoken into. And God may use you in your industry, in medicine, in teaching, in education, wherever. You're a person of of position, and God will bless you to do what Joseph did, which is to stand up in your moment and fulfill the assignment that God has for you right there in the marketplace. He was a man whose wealth and prestige opened a door for him and put him before Pilate in a moment when no one else could have an audience with Pilate. But Joseph of Arimathea got the attention of Pilate. And he had an amazing idea. He had an amazing heart. He had a tomb. It was a new tomb, an expensive tomb, one that he had hewn out of stone. I've been to a place in Jerusalem that I personally believe is that one and same tomb. It's an amazing experience to be there. And if you've ever gone with Kathy and I to Israel, it's a marvelous treat. But whether that was the literal exact location doesn't matter. Joseph of Arimathea had a tomb. It was in a garden, the Bible tells us, by a place where there was plenty of water, just outside the city, near a rock called Golgotha. And there's a place there, and he had hewn out this tomb, and he wanted it to be used, listen carefully, he wanted it to be used for the body of Christ. Not the body of Christ universal as we understood it, the literal broken, defiled, bleeding, abused body of Jesus. With his wealth and with his status, watch this, he begged for the opportunity to be involved with the body of Christ. He wanted to take custody of the body of Christ. He wanted to care for the body of Christ. He had in mind the dignity and the propriety and a love for the body of Christ, and he outed himself. A wealthy man, a man whose name was his brand, who had a reputation, and he begs before a king, please let me connect with the body of Christ. I want to ask us today what I believe is a very important question, because we as a church are looking at impacting cities. We want to be a blessing in our city. We want people to come to Christ. We have a clear mission to reach people, and we're busy doing that. And now God is giving us even more vision, perhaps for cities beyond our own city. And we have to answer the question, why are we doing this? And what is God asking for us? And we're in prayer and we're seeking him. But I think there's a very fundamental question that we're going to have to ask and answer today. And that is, how passionate are we about the body of Christ? How concerned are we about what God wants to do in his body, in his church? How passionate, here's a question for us, how passionate is our commitment to get involved in the body of Christ? That's something for us to think about. Am I passionate? Am I at least as passionate as Joseph of Arimathea, who had all the money, who had all the wealth, who had all the reputation, and for him to identify with this broken, bloody mess called the body of Jesus inspires me like nothing else. And I'm going to tell you something. I am on fire for the body of Christ. I am on fire to see God move through you and move through me as never before. I do not despise the body of Christ. I do not want to forget the body of Christ. I am not ashamed of the body of Christ. I'm not ready to say the body of Christ is a bloody mess. It's a broken mess. It's dead. The best days of the church are over. That is not true. Because even as bloody as the body was, maybe Joseph knew what the Father knew, which was that a resurrection was coming to the very same tomb. That bloody mess was going to turn into a glorious body, which would become the church of Jesus Christ, his living expression of his ministry here on the earth. For every death, there is a resurrection. And hear me, if your marriage is dead, if your marriage is a bloody mess, if you feel like your life is a bloody mess, if you feel like it's all over and the best days are behind you, get ready for a miracle. Because death is real, but resurrection is even more real. Here is Joseph of Arimathea, an intercessor, coming before a king, a man of authority himself. But he comes before the king and says, let me see if I can get involved here with the body of Christ. Please, let me position the body of Christ for a miracle in this city. Let's don't let the body of Christ rot. Let's don't let the birds pick the eyes out of the body of Christ. Let's don't give up and let it rot and decompose. Let's steward it into a place where it can make the unbelievable comeback that God has predicted for the church. Let's make a room. I've spent my money. Yes, I'm a man of wealth and I've got everything. Everybody thinks I'm Mr. Big, but I'm going to out myself and lay it all on the line right now. I care about the body of Christ. This is me. This is my heart. You guys crucified him. You tore him apart. But he's precious to me, and I'm not ashamed to be associated. I want to connect to the body. I'm not looking to distance myself. And he becomes a picture of an intercessor. And how I pray that God will grip our hearts to intercede for the body of Christ, to intercede that something would happen in our city and in many cities. And it's not going to happen through aliens. And it's not going to happen through politicians. And it's not going to happen through... It's going to happen through the body of Christ. We, the church, are the body of Christ. It's not going to happen through the Peace Corps. It's not going to happen through the Republicans. It's not going to happen through the Democrats. Let's just clear the field here. Whatever team you bat for, okay? What we need is bigger than a party or a president or a program. What we need is a resurrection. What we need is a miracle in our city. Let me share with you this morning, in just the few minutes I have left, three things about how one man became an intercessor in his city. First, Joseph of Arimathea had compassion for the body of Christ. He was moved in his heart. It was visceral. He couldn't stand the thought. He loved the body so much, he couldn't stand the thought of it being neglected. He had a burden for the body of Christ. Let me ask you, do you have a burden for the body of Christ? Do you have a passion to see something happen in the church? Joseph had a burden for the body of Christ in his city. He put his reputation on the line. And he became like Nehemiah, who came before a king. Nehemiah was a man who also came before a king. And he cried out for Jerusalem. He had heard that Jerusalem had been defeated and torn apart and reduced to rubble and burned to the ground. And he wept and he cried. And Nehemiah, go ahead and put that up, Nehemiah chapter 1. He cries out before the king after receiving this report. He sat down and he wept and he mourned for days, fasting and praying before the God of heaven. He said, God, I want a miracle in my city. I've heard that the body is broken down. I've heard the city is broken down. And I tell you, it's time for us to care about the church, to care about the work of God, and to have a burden and have a passion for what God wants to do. I read on Facebook, it's happened before, but I don't know, this time it just hurt me, because these are the kind of things that I'm thinking about. And I saw a very honest young person, a millennial young person that was so ashamed of evangelical Christianity and so ashamed of the church and just ranting and putting the body of Christ on blast and over issues and things in the news and so on. And it just broke my heart because her words were, "I'm ashamed to be associated with the body of Christ." And while I can understand the mistakes that the church makes and the fumbles that sometimes even the best of us can react wrongly or whatever her issue was, I understand that. I've got what I consider a front row seat on the weaknesses of the body of Christ, okay? Please, you don't have to inform me of all the weaknesses of the body of Christ. I've got eyes. I can see. I have a pretty good view from what I can see of the church. But I wonder what this young lady will do when she meets Joseph of Arimathea in heaven one day. I wonder if she'll have much in common. A person who wants to swear off the church. A person who wants nothing to do, a believer who wants nothing to do with the body of Christ, who is judgmental and critical and condemning of the church, and maybe at times rightly observing the church's weaknesses. But I wonder what Joseph of Arimathea would say. Would he say, "You know, I know it's bloody, I know it's broken, I know it looks dead, but where's the people that will fight for the body? Where's the people that have a burden for the body? You sound angry with the body. You sound mad at the body of Christ." Look, if you're mad at the body of Christ, I think you've got some praying to do. I think you've got some forgiving to do. I think our hearts have to be right. If we're going to touch cities, you know, if we can't even love each other across race lines and across age lines and across approach lines and strategy lines, we can't agree on everything. We can't agree on candidates. We may not be agreeing on everything. But if we can't love each other, how are we going to touch a city? Jesus said, "By this are you going to know. All people are going to know that you are my disciples when you have love one for another." I'll tell you, God wants to put a love in our hearts for each other, a love in our hearts for the body of Christ. And you might want to keep your distance. Maybe you're so dignified. Maybe you're so high ranking. Maybe your brand is so important to you and your reputation is so important to you that you would just want to distance yourself from the church. But I'll tell you something about Jesus. He's not distancing himself from the church. That's his bride. And people who have the heart of an intercessor, people who have the heart of an intercessor that will go before the king and say, "Oh, king, I'm crying out for the body. I see the brokenness of the body, but I'm not giving up on the body." Joseph of Arimathea had a passion for the church. He was like Paul. If you look at Paul, exhorted the church. He said the church is special and holy. He loved the church, and he talked about Christ's love for the church and the body. And those who had made havoc against the church drew Paul's anger. Those who attacked the church, Paul defended the church. He said, "Watch out for the wolves. Don't let anybody come in here and attack the church." He said, "I'll fight for the church. I'll raise funds for the church. I'll travel for the church. I'll go to jail for the church. I'll be beaten for the church." Because the church is the body of Christ. I know we don't wake up in the morning and say to ourselves, "I'm going to become a critic of the church." But I think we got to be very careful when we start decrying the deadness of the church and our own superior faith, our own superior knowledge and wisdom. We can't really participate with the church because the church isn't really where it needs to be. That wasn't Joseph of Arimathea's. You see, he was an intercessor. He was passionate. He looked for ways to lay his stuff down and connect with the body of Christ. Paul the Apostle said, "I feel pangs in my belly like a woman travailing until Christ is formed in the church." This is the heart of an intercessor. And I'll say this, a burden for the church in the city is foundational to our mission. It's foundational to taking cities, to touching cities and nations. We're not going to do it through the United Nations. We're not going to do it through the Peace Corps. We've only got one team here, guys. It's the church. It's the body of Christ that's going to get it done. So before you quickly disassociate yourself, preserving your dignity, and forsaking the dignity of the body of Christ, you better ask God for a burden. You better ask God for compassion for the church. Though it's bloody and though it's broken, it's the body of Christ. And it's the key to taking cities and changing lives. Maybe I'm looking for an amen here that just isn't going to come. But I would sure feel great if somebody would thunder an occasional amen and a glory of God. And, you know, I preach in France and they stand on the chairs and they scream. Preach in my own hometown and I get... I'm just teasing. Just lighten the mood a little bit. But just do a practice. Just do a courtesy amen every once in a while. Yeah. He had compassion for the body of Christ. Do you? Yeah. Joseph of Arimathea also covered the body of Christ. That's the second thing I notice in this story. Because there, he took custody of the body. Now, every picture that you've seen of Jesus hanging on the cross has been courteous, but inaccurate. Because when Jesus hung on the cross, he did not have a modesty loincloth. The Romans gave him no such courtesy. Part of the humiliating experience that was crucifixion was being stripped naked in your own city. Being paraded naked. Being spit upon. Being plucked and mocked and cursed in your own hometown, and then dying a slow and vicious and painful death on a cross. Crucifixion was terrorism, pure and simple. It was intended to humiliate. And so the body that Joseph of Arimathea took pity on was not a clothed body. It was a naked body. And what do you suppose the first thing he wanted to do? He got a white cloth. And he said, let's cover this here. I'm going to fight for the dignity and the honor and the beauty of what this is. This is not a spectacle. This brokenness is not a joke. Let's cover this. He's a man of wealth. He's an intercessor. It's the heart of intercession, is to cover the body of Christ. 1 Peter 4:8 gives us a poignant lesson about the nature of love and how we should relate to one another. It says, above all, love each other deeply. Because love does what? Love covers. Noah was an imperfect man. He had too much wine. He took his clothes off. He fell asleep. His children walked backward. They covered the nakedness of their father. Not to dishonor. This was a servant of God. We live in a culture that's so addicted to criticism. A culture so self-entitled that all we want to do is pass judgment on everything we experience. Every dish of food, every person who speaks, every politician, everything. We have a highly, highly refined sense of how things ought to be. And we pick at our kids. And we pick at our teenagers, and we pick at each other. And when a person in our presence has a flaw, a human side, we just circle for the delicious gossip, for the passing of the story that will uncover the nakedness of another person. It's a pathology, and I'm as guilty as any of us. And I'm crying out, God, I want to be an intercessor, not an accuser. I don't want to be an exposer. I know what I'll do. I'll expose my husband. I'll expose my child. I'll put him on blast on Facebook. I'll make sure everybody knows what this pastor did or what this lawyer did or what my wife did or what my ungrateful son did. I'm going to put him on blast. I'm not going to cover him. I'm going to rip the clothes off and let everyone see the nakedness and the wounding. That isn't love. That isn't any kind of anything that is healthy. And we have to make a decision in life. And one of the basic decisions we need to make in life is, are we an intercessor or are we an accuser?
Amen.
What are you going to do with the imperfections of the people in your life? What are you going to do with the imperfections of your husband, of your wife, of your brother, of your family member, of your neighbor? What are you going to do with that? Are you going to rip the covers off and make sure everybody sees? Or are you going to be like Joseph of Arimathea and say, you know what, there's nothing to look at here, guys. Love covers. Everyone say that. Say it again. Love covers. I'm not talking about a cover up. That's something different. I'm talking about courtesy, talking about kindness and how we treat each other. What kind of families are we going to have? What kind of churches are we going to have? What kind of people are we going to be? Proverbs says this. One who seeks love conceals an offense. Have you been offended this week? I was. I had a whopper. I mean a whopper. Somebody did something very, very naughty. And wow. I said, Lord, you're testing me on this verse right here. And I'm going to talk about it, but I'm not going to name names. But his initials are. No, I'm not going to say that. You know I wouldn't do that. Love conceals an offense, but gossiping about a person's sin, repeating a thing, it's so delicious. I just need to pass it on. It's a prayer request. Did you hear what happened at the other church? Did you hear what happened to Brother So-and-so? Did you hear about... Shh. Be cool. Here she comes. Hi. Oh, don't you look cute in your outfit? Oh my God, she's gained 20 pounds. Ah. Oh. Say amen or oh me. Accusers expose faults, but intercessors cover. There's one more thing before we worship together and receive our offering this morning. And I pray it'll be a good one because I'm preaching really well.
Amen.
You know, if we're going to take cities, we got to have intercessors. We got to have givers. We got to have some Joseph of Arimathea stepping up for the body of Christ. Amen. All right, here's the third one. I love Joseph of Arimathea because not only did he have a burden for the body and a compassion, and he covered it, but he also created space for it. Joseph of Arimathea dug out of the quarry, dug out of a rock, a sheer rock, a place. And that place was created as a tomb. It was a space created that once was surrendered to God, became the place of a resurrection miracle. Now track with me. When you and I surrender the space of our life, space in our schedule, space in our budget, space in our thoughts, space in our prayers, when we set aside space for the use of the body of Christ, that's the place where the miracle takes place. That's where resurrection has always come. God's power doesn't interrupt randomly. God's power enters into our life when we consecrate space to Him. For a Christian, we say, I'm going to try to cut out of my life a place of prayer and fellowship and communion with God. I'm going to try to cut out of my schedule time to read my Bible. And I'm going to cut, and I'm going to teach my children to cut out a space called Sunday, called Body of Christ, called coming together to worship, to celebrate. Look, you're not looking at a legalistic person, but I fear that what Jesus told us would happen, that the cares of the world could choke out the life of God in us, that as we allow career, which is certainly good, and we allow sports, nothing wrong with it, and we allow pleasures and boats and all those things, I pray God gives all of it to you. I pray you have all of that. I pray that none of that has you. And I pray that you would carve out of your life a place that you could say, God, here's what I have. It wasn't easy. It was expensive. It was a lot of hard work to create this place. But now I turn it over to you. I'm wealthy. I've got prestige. I've got a brand. I've got a social collateral. But I'm giving it to you. I am not ashamed of the body of Christ in my life. And I have time to be in God's house. And I have time to connect in a small group with people. Maybe you don't have 20 hours a week. Let's not get crazy, but let's carve something out that we could give to God and say, this is where a resurrection could take place. It always mystifies me when people that are, their life is going absolutely the wrong direction, their marriage is going the wrong direction, their kids are going the wrong direction, all hell is breaking loose in our lives. And you think, there's got to be 5 minutes to connect with the body, to get a word from heaven. I need church. I need time, right? But it happens again and again and again. The worse the family gets, the less time we have for God. And it becomes a snowball. And I love you so much, and I want to warn you in Jesus' name, keep space in your life for Jesus Christ. Amen. Keep space in your life for the body of Christ, because that's where your miracle is. That's where resurrection power comes. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? And if your kids whine a little bit, they won't die. And if your back aches a little bit, you won't die. You'll be okay. God might touch you. And you know what? Your kids will have a great time. Oh, I'm way off the page here. Your prayers carve out a place for God. Your giving carves out a place for God in your life. Your local church giving, we're going to receive our offering. Look, we're not going to take cities with good intentions. It's going to be prayer. It's going to be hard work. It's going to be people giving. It's going to be people carving out a space in their life. Look, here's a basic philosophy that I have about pastoring you, okay? Can I bring you into how I view pastoring you? And this is how I want our staff to do, and this would be the culture that I would like. I want to enjoy my life, and I want you to enjoy your life. I'm not talking about being in church 7 nights a week and some kind of crazy schedule. I want to enjoy my life, and I want you to enjoy your life. And I bless you to enjoy your life, and you should enjoy life, and life is for enjoying. But if you're enjoying life so much that the God space in your life is getting smaller and smaller and smaller, I say to you, you're going the wrong direction. And I love you enough to challenge you and say, it might be time for you to get the chisel out to your budget, get the chisel out to your schedule, get the chisel out to your children, your husband, and say, we're going to knock out some space in our world for miracle time, for body of Christ time, for fellowship time, for Bible time, for Jesus time. Can I get an amen here this morning? I think I'm about done. But I just want to challenge you, dig out a place in your life for God. Do you have space in your life for the body of Christ? Do you have space in your life for Jesus Christ? I want you to bow your heads, if you would, please. I want to pray. Worship team, come on and just get into place. We're going to have a little Holy Spirit time. We'll receive the offering in just a moment, but right now, I want to pray. Father, I pray for people right now in this room, even on this 4th of July weekend, when many of us are tempted to give up on our nation, give up on the church, and ashamed to be Americans, maybe some people, and ashamed to be Christians. God, wash that junk off of us. Forgive us, Lord, and let us come back to the body. Let us come back to a real living relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the church. And I'm not ashamed of your people. I love your people, Lord. I'm on fire to see your people touched and healed and activated. Lord, I want to see a great army marching. And I believe the body of Christ, the beauty. And yes, there's bruises and there's brokenness. But Lord, we cover the body of Christ right now with prayer. We pray, Lord, we intercede right now for pastors and leaders, and we pray for the church in San Jose, and we pray for the church in America. We're not going to throw rocks. We're going to throw up prayers to you, Father. We're going to ask that you would work, Lord, in our nation and in our cities, Lord, and use us as a church to touch cities, Lord, to reach people for you, Father. Lord, give us your heart. Give us your passion. Let us create space for you in our lives, I pray. Just while your head is bowed, your eyes are closed, I don't want to close this service without giving you the opportunity to open a place in your heart to Christ. If you've never done this before, this would be a great time. Because you see, as I describe Christ dying on the cross and rising from the dead, that's meaningful to you. He did that because he loves you. He did that because he cares. He did that to wash your sins, so that if you would be a believer, if you would receive him, you would have eternal life. The Bible promises a brand new life to those who receive him, the power to become sons of God. And so if you're here while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to just ask you in this moment, I'd like to pray for you. If you say, Pastor David, pray for me. I don't know if my sins are forgiven. I'm not sure that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, but I want to know today. I want to give my life to Christ for sure and for real. Just raise your hand. Just while heads are bowed, just go ahead, raise your hand, put up your hand, and I'll pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for that. Don't be ashamed. God bless you. All the way to the back, I see your hand. That's wonderful. Now I'm going to ask you to do something very special. Would you please all stand? And if you raised your hand, and if you didn't raise your hand, everyone stand. Everyone, please. We're going to be worshiping here in a moment. We're going to receive our tithe and offering, but let me just talk for a minute to people who just raised their hand. We're going to put a prayer on the screen. This would be your moment to talk to God and say, Lord Jesus, I receive you. This is a prayer that we're all going to pray online, in the cafe. We're all going to say this prayer because this is the time to create space in our lives for God. And if you've never prayed a prayer like this before, something marvelous is going to take place in your life. Would you join me? Let's say this prayer. Father God, here we go. Thank you for the body of Christ. I believe Jesus paid the price for my forgiveness. I want to make room for you in my life. Forgive me for neglecting the body of Christ. I want to be an intercessor for what you are doing in cities in Christ's name. Now everyone say this, Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Wash away my sins. I will be a follower for the rest of my life. By your grace, I am saved. Thank you, Lord. Now, Gateway, let's tell everybody who prayed that prayer for the first time what a great idea that was. What an unbelievable thing. Come on. Hallelujah. We're going to worship. The ushers are going to come. Just remain standing. I think it would be okay in this service for us to remain standing as we sing, as we worship. I don't want you to rush out the door. We got a nice chicken dinner for you. And Pastor Chip's going to come and talk to us in a minute. But, you know, we all need that touch from heaven. Can we take 2 minutes to be in his presence? Ushers, go ahead and pass. Thank you for your giving. Let's worship.
Open our eyes to see the things that make your heart cry, to be the church that you would desire,
your light to be seen.
I'll sing it. Break down our pride. Break down our pride, God, and all the walls we build up inside. Our earthly crowns and all our desires. We lay them down. We lay at your feet. Let's declare this over our nation. Let hope rise.
Let hope rise. Darkness tremble in your holy light.
Every eye
will see Jesus our God, great and mighty to be praised.
He's great and mighty, God of all days,
God of all days.
We worship you,
glory.
Forgive someone, do it right now. If you've been angry, if you've been hurt, just release it right now. Keep singing. Come, Holy Spirit. If a spiritual leader hurt you, if someone offended you with their politics, just release it right now. Make us intercessors, not accusers. Make us fans, not critics. Fans of the church. Boosters, supporters of what you're doing, Lord. We love the body. We love the imperfect members of the body. That's all of us. We love the broken, bleeding, bruised body. We love the imperfect body. How many of you would be willing to commit to love something imperfect? Show me your hand. Say, I'm ready to love even the imperfect. Because if we get that, we're going to take cities. I promise you. We get that. I'm going to speak a blessing over you. My blessing is, may the face of God shine on you. May He cover me and you with the white linen of His grace. May peace settle down upon your heart. May He pour in oil and wine to the wound and the brokenness of your experience. And may resurrection, life, fill the places of your world through Christ. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Pastor Chip is coming. I love each and every one of you. We're going to have a great party hanging out together today. Pastor Chip.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.